Finance
Morning,
Friday is
Thomas.
really about financial education, right? And I did a live stream today, and I was talking to some of my following, and I was letting them know, like, for me, I didn't grow up with financial education. I didn't grow up in a family that had financial means, that had financial sophistication, that really money was a foreign subject, right? So a lot of times when we think finances and we think money, we think about the things we learned growing up. Right, we might have learned those things from our parents. We might have learned those things from teachers, from peers, from other people that we've observed. But a lot of times when we learn these things, it's from the wrong source. Right. And so this morning I was sharing, I used to be a personal trainer and I was a bodybuilder. I was actually 2010 Junior Mr. Anchorage. And so as a personal trainer, I was somebody that really took pride in being in good physical condition and being able to get other people, clients, into the same kind of a shape, right? And so I would see, kind of a joking thing, but I would see fat personal trainers, right? I'd see people who are out of shape, they weren't practicing what they preach, and a client would come in, and this person that's overweight or out of shape would go up to them and be like, "I'm going to help you get in shape." And I would always look at that, and I would be like, "How is that person going to help someone else get in shape? They're not even doing it themselves," right? And I think, a lot of us, we can look at that and we can relate to it. We can say, I could see the illogic there. But we do the same thing with money, right? How much of our money advice do we get from people that, they're not doing well with finances? They're not winning with money, right? They're not actually the ideal scene and the picture of what we want and achieving the goals that we would have for ourselves, but we take advice from them on the topic of finances. Right. And it's no different than a fat personal trainer. Right. And so part of the mental barrier that I had to overcome was the idea that money is evil. Right. Money is evil. Wealthy people are evil. They're bad. Money changes you and all this kind of nonsense that we hear. Money, just like, the gym thing, it makes you more of what you already are. Right. Like, let's say I have somebody, and I use this example today. I want to share it with you also. Let's say I have somebody that I know that's in really good physical shape. Right there, they've got, low body fat, good muscle tone, they're healthy, and they look like they're doing really well physically. Right? And they know what they're doing in the gym, and they know what they're doing with their diet, and they know what they're doing with their supplements. Okay, but let's pretend that they're a real asshole. Right? They're rude to their family, they're a terrible father, they're a bad friend, they're a bad coworker, a bad leader. Right. And they've got all these qualities that I don't like. And I'm like, that person's not a good person. Okay. Does that mean I can't copy what they do in the gym? Ask yourself that. Like, if I'm like, but they have some pretty good looking triceps, I wonder what they do for their triceps. If I copy their triceps routine, is that suddenly going to make me a bad father? Is that suddenly going to make me, a terrible person? Is that suddenly going to make me somebody that, is not good, and I'm rude and mean, and I'm an asshole and all this stuff? No, it's going to mean that I copied what they do to get big triceps, right? The same would be true of money. Like, you can look at wealthy people and be like, well, there's this wrong with them and there's that wrong with them, and I don't like this and I don't like that, and I think they're this and I think they do this thing, and there's this conspiracy and that problem. Good. You don't need to do any of that stuff if you build wealth. No different than copying a fit person in the gym. Like, you're just copying their routine. Apparently they're good at something, right? There's some wealthy people in history that were really terrible and they knew how to build wealth, right? They just chose to do bad things with it once they got it. What if they chose to do good things? What if you were them and you were a good person and you chose to do good things, right? This isn't about them. This is about you, right? Quit finding reasons to not take responsibility for building wealth, because that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to make it wrong so that you don't have to do it. Because having to build wealth means that you're going to have to change your lifestyle and your behaviors, and you're going to need to learn, and you're going to need to do things differently, and you can't, spend uncontrollably, and you can't take a bunch of time off on all these vacations, and you've got to work extra hard, and you've got to be disciplined. That's what building wealth means. It's the financial version of going to the gym. Right? You got to embrace that. Like, this is your financial health. Just like you've got a body, right? You need to take care of your body. You need to take care of your finances. So my mindset had to change on that first. Right? Nobody goes around saying all people with six packs are evil. Right? We would never think that. It's an illogical thought. right? Just like the wealthy people are evil. It's not any more logical than those with six packs are evil. So until you change that, you will never start to learn from something you think is wrong. You see what I mean? So you have to really embrace, and I'm talking to you right now, you need to embrace the habits and financial behaviors, not the other stuff. You don't need to do the other stuff. You be you with more money, right? Improve the quality of life for yourself, for your loved ones, for the world around you. That's all you need to do, but you need the resources to get there, right? Once I overcame that, I could then start learning, right? And I'm going to tell you a story today. This is a real story. One tiny piece of information, literally just one concept, wasn't that difficult, wasn't that complicated. But there's a client that I'm working with that because he didn't know this one piece of information, which thankfully we shared with him today, he was going to overpay $3 million in taxes. Right. So those of you that are like, oh, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to learn about finances. I'm too busy to learn about wealth. It means you're not building any. Those that are building wealth, if you knew that one piece of information could save you $3 million in taxes, would you be too busy or would you finally make some time? Right. The only reason it wouldn't matter is you don't plan on having a $3 million tax problem because you're not going to earn, save, and invest enough for that to be a reality. Which take a couple steps back to the mindset thing. Right? So when I wrote this book, The Blueprint to Financial Freedom, right? I wrote it because I was like, yeah, this stuff matters. Like I didn't learn this. I struggled, right? Like I became a financial advisor and I learned all the wrong stuff thinking it was the right stuff and it still wasn't helping. Okay, so in the next couple of minutes, I want to share with you what we did here. Now I'm going to whiteboard this out. As always, you guys have got the Jerry Fedda whiteboard going on here. Right. So I'm just going to give you this the case study. We're not going to name names, but this is a real client of mine that we're working with right now. And so he's selling his business for around 20 million. Right. Just giving you the concepts here. So around $20 million is what he's selling it for. Now, if you immediately just now were like, well, that's because he has a bunch of money, or he has this advantage, or I bet he did this. Your mindset sucks. Get rid of that. You need to say, how do I build a $20 million business? Rather than disqualify the guy who did so that you don't need to learn from him. Like, how do I do that? If I'm not valuable enough to society to build a $20 million business, I need to figure out how to get those skills. Right? Because I know this guy. He's a hard worker. Most of us are hard workers, but he's also smart. But he's not, 8 years in college smart, like he's smart, like make $20 million smart. I'd rather be that kind of smart, right? Who's with me on that? Who would rather be $20 million smart than 8 years college degree, hundreds of thousand dollars of debt smart, right? I would rather be the $20 million smart. So you're going to sell for 20 million. His share of this is about 10, right? He's going to have about 10 that he brings in from this amount. Now, when you sell a company, if you've had it for a while, you're going to have what's called basis, meaning you've put a certain amount of your own money into the business. So that money that you put into the business was already taxed at one point. So the IRS is not going to tax it again, right? So here's a chunk of money that's basis, right? A couple million, maybe 2 million. So if we say like, so let's call it three. Let's take 3 million off of here, right? He has 7 million now. About 7 million that is taxable. Okay, now, if you've never paid taxes on $7 million, thankfully I've not had to yet. This guy looking at this tax bill, his tax bill on the 7 million would be about 3. That's what he'd pay in taxes, right? So he keeps about 4. So think about this. You work, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years to build a $20 million company. You sell it, you get your 10, you pull out the 3 that you put in the first place. That was already your own money. And then you get to keep 4. Off of $10 million, you get 4. How fair does that sound? That sounds terrible, right? Like, why would you do all that work to give up all that money? Right, especially knowing it's going to go to our government, who's just going to use it for deficit spending. Like it's not a good plan. So he's looking at this and he's like, I've got kids, I've got grandkids. Like this is my legacy. I could be leaving this to them. I could be investing it on their behalf, right? So let me just share with you like what we did here. So, and this is one concept. Now, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a CPA. We have attorneys, we have CPAs, we have registered investment advisors. If you want to learn more about this kind of thing, reach out to my team and I, and then we're going to connect you with those guys. They're the real professionals in this field. But I'm going to share with you what I learned as we went through this today. Okay. So we're looking at a strategy here. Let me just clear off my whiteboard a bit. We are looking at a strategy here called a deferred sales trust. Deferred sales trust. Okay. Now, what is a deferred sales trust? Ordinarily, we have, the guy selling the business, right? So we have got the guy here. He is selling his company to the buyer over here. Right? And so we got the seller here, we've got the buyer. The buyer sends him the money, and that's where he's paying taxes, right? On a deferred sales trust, similar, you've got the buyer and the seller, right? So my client is still the seller. Okay, he's gonna do an assignment sale, meaning he's gonna assign the business to the deferred sales trust. The buyer is going to pay the deferred sales trust instead of my client, right? So the 10 million his share goes into the deferred sales trust. 10 million goes in. Right now, what does that do? What that does is my client never actually touched the 10 million, right? If you know anything about taxes, you don't get taxed on money you don't have, right? So if you own a house and you don't sell your house, you don't pay taxes on the gain of your house because you didn't realize it. You didn't actually receive anything. So because he assigned it to the trust, then the trust received the funds. The entire 10 million goes in here. And do you know what his tax burden is on the 10 million? Zero. Right? If he does it correctly and our legal team will help him, he will pay zero in taxes. Zero. That one little concept, right? That one little concept. Now, here are the barriers. Okay, the barriers are a couple of things. Number one, he needs somebody that knows enough about his situation to bring this to the table. That was me and my team. We said, hey, we know what's going on. We understand your situation. We're going to reach into our toolbox and talk to our teams of professionals and find the best thing. And we're going to bring it to your attention. We're going to make you aware of it, right? Financial education starts with awareness. Right? Awareness typically starts with a goal or a problem. Right? You've got a goal or you've got a problem. You're now aware and you start looking for solutions to get it done, to make it happen, to achieve the goal, to solve the problem. Right? So this guy has a problem, $3 million problem, and a goal. I built this company. I'm selling it. I want to keep of it as much of it as I can. Right? So he's going to sell it and he's now going to look at how can I keep. How can I keep as much of this as I can and reduce my tax burden? And that's a problem. And the goal is associated with that. So his awareness comes up. He starts looking around, talking. We're working with him, thankfully. This is the value of working with Wealth Dynamics and our team. We're working with them and we're like, hey, let's check out this option. Let's look into this. This might be something that could really help you. Okay, so we get on a call today and we go through some education with our investment advisory team. Right, and it comes up that the deferred sales trust would work. It would save him about $3 million in taxes. He would pay zero taxes on the sale, keep all of the money he's worked for, and then check this out. Once this is in the deferred sales trust, let me just clear my whiteboard off a bit. Once this is inside the deferred sales trust, he is able to decide when he wants to receive those funds. Okay, so he'll create an arrangement. Let me just put my deferred sales trust back up here. Right, we're going to call that the DST, the Deferred Sales Trust. Right, so he's going to create an arrangement saying, okay, the DST, it has 10 million in it, for example. And we're going to take this 10 million and let's say we invest this 10 million inside the DST in real estate. And we're making 12% on the real estate, right? So on 10 million, what's a 12% return on 10 million? Right? That's $100,000 a month. Okay, so he can see he has a lot of flexibility here. He could say, I want the whole $100,000 a month coming to me, right? So this would now pay him $100,000 a month in passive income. And his 10 million stays in here. Now, he'll pay taxes on the money he takes out, right? The distributions, the income he's receiving, just like any business or transaction, he'll pay taxes on that, but he's not paying taxes on the 10 million. Now, the other thing is he doesn't need to take the full 100,000. He might say, I only need 50, I only need 60, I need 40, whatever the number is. So I'm going to leave the rest and I'm going to reinvest it, right? I'm going to reinvest it. Now, the reinvesting means that this 10 million will continue to grow and not be taxed. He'll take the money out as he needs it based on the agreement with the trust, and he'll pay taxes only on what he takes out. Now, when he takes the money out of the trust, he can do tax planning to reduce and avoid that as well. Right? But this is key. Like, if you're selling real estate, if you're selling a business, if you're selling anything of substantial value, it's important for you to know this stuff. Right? Like, imagine, like, just put yourself in this person's shoes. Imagine not knowing about this. Doing the transaction, selling the business, paying the $3 million in taxes, then in hindsight, finding out that you could have paid zero. You could have kept the entire 3 million, right? Because it's not just about the 3 million. Let me show you guys what I mean on this, right? So if we go to just a regular compounding interest calculator, let me just Google one for you guys here. Compounding interest calculator, let's use investor.gov. Sure. Right. So we've got a $3 million balance. This is the money that he's saving. Okay. And let's say he's gonna keep that invested for the next 20 years, and he's not gonna need to pull all that money out. And he's able to earn 8%. Right? In 20 years, that 3 million is actually about 14. Think about the good you could do for your kids, for your grandkids, for your church, for your charities, for your communities with $14 million over the next 20 years, right? Or you could pay it in taxes, you know, and if you pay it in taxes, you'll fund us bombing some countries out in the middle of the desert. You'll fund, you know, making sure that people who don't work still get rewarded like they do. Right? You'll fund all sorts of nonsense. You'll fund $80,000 toilet seats for the government. Like, that's the kind of stuff it's going to go to. But back to what I said at the very beginning. Now, this client of mine is a good person. I've known him for a long time. And that's why I'm helping him with this. Right? Because I know, okay, this guy, if he gets 14 million, he's going to do some very cool stuff with it. He's going to be charitable. He's going to be, you know, helping his family. He's going to change his legacy and improve it even more and create all sorts of good things with $14 million. The government's not, right? Like, that's going to be gone in a second. The rate that they're spending, that's not going to make a dent, that 3 million, even the 14 million, right? So if you're watching this tonight, number one, if you're watching this and you're like, well, I'm nowhere near selling a $10 million business having a $3 million tax problem, get there. It should be a goal of yours at some point in your life to have a $3 million tax problem. When it happens, come see me and my team. Right now, if you are in that situation and you are selling an asset, real estate, right? A business, it doesn't matter. Like, you're selling an asset. You are selling an asset to whoever, it doesn't matter. I want you to come reach out to us. Let us know, hey, I'm selling my property. I'm selling my business. I'm selling, a collector's vehicle. It doesn't matter. If you're selling something of value for profit and you don't want to pay the taxes, come see me and my team. Right? Now, if you're in between where you're building up to get there, this is what the book is for, The Blueprint to Financial Freedom. Right? The information I shared tonight, and this is a 20-minute show we did this evening. The information I shared tonight, that kind of stuff is in here. I did not come up with this. This is in the tax code. This is law. Right? And you just need to have the financial education to know it's an option. Because a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. Right. And I know CPAs that don't know this stuff. With this particular client, the first call we did was with my personal CPA. My CPA couldn't make heads or tails of the situation. We had to then go to a specialist, right? So just because someone is your bookkeeper, just because someone is your tax person, just because someone is your CPA does not mean that they know how to help you legally reduce your tax bill, right? It just means that if you report to them the correct numbers, they will tell you how much you owe, not that they'll reduce how much you owe, right? That's a key there. So guys, if you're watching this video this evening and any of what I said was of value to you, you want to learn more about it, here's what I'd like to do, right? So I'm going to share my screen again, and I want to give you a free copy of my book, right? So I wrote this book. It's called The Blueprint to Financial Freedom. And I want to give you a hookup here for a free copy. That's not the page I'm trying to share. There we go. Okay. So if you go to jerryfetta.com/B2F promo, jerryfetta.com/B2F promo, you can get a free copy of the Blueprint to Financial Freedom. Right now, this book will take you about 6 hours to read, and it's going to give you the little bits that you need to start building wealth. And you don't even need help with this stuff. Like if you go through this, I'll give you an example, right? So this is a chapter on how to reduce the cost of your debt, insurance, taxes, and investment fees. And it walks you through exactly what to do. Right. I've had clients reach out to me, not even clients, people who bought my book reach out to me and say, "Hey, thank you for your book. I didn't need help. I did it all by myself and now I have passive income." I've had people buy the book and say, "Hey, I need some help." And we help them get the passive income and the wealth with kind of a more hands-on. This is a page chapter on how to invest in gold and use it to produce passive income and be your own banking system. Right. So that's the kind of stuff that's in there. So if you would like to get a copy, again, that's jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. Thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate it. Hope you had a great time. Hope you learned something. Like, share, subscribe, grab the book. I'll see you next time.